Get those donations.
Yeah, quit
in.
Being shy.
Come on, quit being shy. Call up and get them in, and we'll get them on the air. We're looking forward to that. We're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour with Brian from the campaign chairman for the United Way, right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W2.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez, a new Israeli advancement in Gaza. Ground troops have entered Gaza's largest hospital. Correspondent Rami Innocencio from Tel Aviv.
For nearly 2 weeks, Israel's military has made its case to the world for targeting Al-Shifa. Now they are inside, says Colonel Richard Hecht, Israel's military spokesman.
When we entered the hospital, there was a small engagement with Hamas gunmen.
What happened there?
There was engagement of fire. We exchanged fires, and that's all I can say at this point.
The White House says it doesn't support a firefight.
There was no patients harmed. We only responded to an engagement when we entered. It was the outside of the hospital.
We have brand new information on hostages from CBS's Margaret Brennan.
There are active negotiations, proposals being passed back and forth between Israel and Hamas. The children being held by Hamas would be prioritized in any potential release. Ceasefires for a few days would potentially be involved here. And Israel is considering a proposal from Hamas to release Palestinian women and children from detention centers in Israel.
President Biden and China Xi Jinping are expected to discuss the wars in Gaza and Ukraine today when they meet face-to-face for the first time in a year near San Francisco. The National Security Council's Kurt Campbell.
Almost every major decision is taken by President Xi. And so that means you've got to get to him personally, and the only way to do that is through leader-to-leader meetings.
They could announce a deal to crack down on fentanyl. An early victory for the new House Speaker, Mike Johnson. Lawmakers have passed a temporary spending bill to prevent a government shutdown Friday.
We're not surrendering. We're fighting. But you have to be wise about choosing the fight.
The Senate is expected to vote on the plan today. Police in Las Vegas have made arrests in a brutal beating over some stolen headphones. CBS's Matt Piper.
Eight teenagers, all 13 to 17 years old, now face charges in connection with the deadly beating of 17-year-old Jonathan Lewis. His matter of death near a Las Vegas high school this month was listed as homicide. I spoke to his dad, Jonathan Sr., hours before the arrests.
These kids being thrown in prison is just not enough justice. It's time for people to love one another and care for one another in the society. Otherwise, the kids are just going to keep being messed up.
Engineers in Los Angeles say the 10 freeway won't have to be demolished after Saturday's arson fire. They can repair it. As for drivers hitting the road again, Governor Gavin Newsom.
Estimate currently is 3 to 5 weeks. We're going to do everything in our power to move that into more immediate future.
S&P futures are up 20. Dow futures ahead, 122. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Milwaukee Brewers appear to be safe at home. The American Family Field bill is on its way to Governor Evers, and he has said he'll sign it. The amended bill that passed the legislature yesterday asks more of the Brewers, less of state taxpayers, and adds a tax to non-Brewers events at the stadium. People who help their older and disabled loved ones at home for no money are asking for help from the state of Wisconsin. Martha Cranley is director of AARP Wisconsin.
Each year, Wisconsin's unpaid family caregivers provide about 538 million hours of care to their parents, spouses, and partners, and they do it for no pay.
A bill called the CARE Act would require hospitals to work with caregivers to make sure they're getting what they need. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Gun deer season opens this Saturday, November 18th. Preparation is key to having a successful and safe hunting season. DNR Lieutenant Conservation Warden Brian Lockman stresses the importance of letting someone know who's in your hunting party and where you're hunting.
And the more detailed you are on where you're planning on a hunt will improve the time it takes for emergency response personnel to get to you if needed.
Dress in layers, have a small first aid kit, bring your cell phone, and maintain proper hydration and nutrition. Brian said tree stand safety is one of the ways hunters get injured every year.
So make sure the trees are good order, your equipment's in good order. Whenever you leave the ground, you have your five-point harness on and a lifeline going up and down the tree.
Your well-being should always be the top priority. Have a plan, share your plan, and adhere to safety guidelines. And have a happy and healthy hunting season. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High of 60 this afternoon under clear skies. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies. Tonight, 38. Tomorrow, highs around 64. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
We got the band back together,
we Terry. Do, finally. It's been a long time.
It has been a while, yes.
I thought I needed a vacation.
You did.
I mean, real vacation, not just a vacation from you.
Well, a little bit of, a little column A, a little column B. It's all right. All right. We get it. We've been working together a while. And you've been working with our next guest for a little while here as well.
Absolutely. We have been working together. This is kind of the closer on it for the fall. But I am happy to introduce now Brian DeWitt. Brian is our volunteer campaign chair for this year's campaign. Brian's real job is at ERCO, but he's been hitting the circuit with me and talking with people about why to engage with United Way. And so I thought it'd be a good opportunity for Brian to, certainly share with the listeners that's, that message, like why engage, why give, why call now to make a donation. But then also, I think kind of a cool opportunity that we have with this Radiothon kind of as the closing of campaign is for the campaign chair to just share, kind of what were your takeaways? What were kind of the ahas? What did you like about the experience? Anything that you want to share about, this kind of in-depth look that you've had with United Way?
Yeah. And thanks again for being here.
Yeah, you bet. So, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, let's start right there.
All right. Yeah. So I think Terry said, why give now? Friday's the last day of the campaign. We've got a sweepstakes that if you donate $52 a year, you get entered into one of 5,000 drawings. Those drawings are sponsored by a couple of local businesses here. So, the deadline for that is Friday. So if you're going to donate, now is the perfect time to donate for sure.
Brian, I know we've touched on this before, but just as we're kind of wrapping up your run here and also kind of encouraging others, hopefully, to not only be board members, but to maybe being this position for the next term and everything. Working at ERCO, you kind of had an opportunity to see things that the United Way was doing in this community. Is there something about from that made you want to be a part of things, that made you want to be the campaign chair?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the program, I've said before that the United Way covers 30 partner programs. I've been able to visit a bunch of those programs. The United Way covers things like Focus Food Pantry, Aspirus Dental Clinic, which does dental for folks on Medicaid, and it's the only dental clinic in the area that does that. There's the United the YMCA Membership for All program. So if you can't afford membership, the United Way helps support a program that gets folks reduced membership. And if you haven't seen our YMCA facility in town here, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So just really good programs like that. I think I mentioned the food pantry. They do stuff in emergency shelter and emergency food. So just really good programs. One of the things we did on the board this year was we did a bus tour to most of the programs in our area. And so I got to talk to people from those programs and hear about what the programs do. I believe that bus tour was open to the public, or was it just
It was part of the campaign training. Yeah, okay, so people could get in it if they came to training.
Yeah, so something to keep on your radar for next year if we do it again, because it's just a fantastic way to see firsthand what the United Way is doing in the community.
Brian, I mentioned, you're at ERCO, you're a community member, you've been a part of this community, so you've seen the United Way and the impact it makes, and part of the reason I'm sure that you wanted to be a part of things. Mm-hmm. But then there's actually being a part of things and being a behind the scenes and being a board member. How much have you been tuned into that you didn't even know of before of the impact that the United Way makes?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, one of the stories that I started sharing at some of our events when we talked to employers was the fact that, like most people, I got involved with United Way through an employer program, mm-hmm. right? And the employer does the campaign, and there's a big push to donate. And you're like, as an employee, well, sure, why not? I'm going to donate. But you don't exactly know why. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, over the course of the years, I found out a little bit more about the United Way, but then through my position at ERCO, got more involved, got on the board, and got to see firsthand some of the things that the United Way does in the community, started participating in some events. This year we participated in Day of Caring, where you rake yards for folks that mm-hmm. aren't able to do that. Such a fantastic program. Get to meet some individuals out in the community. Just a really good way to make contacts there. Yeah. I think we did over 75 yards mm-hmm. this year and had over 400 volunteers.
Yeah, it
so
was great.
Just an amazing turnout. I think the goal is to get up to 100 yards or more.
So James has a great Day of Caring story because he was helping us with some yards that we couldn't get done on Saturday, you know, going on an evening. But now tell your story of your little guy that you met.
I had a house assigned to me. I did not know that this house, and it actually was in a part of town here not too far from us, just a couple blocks away over by Mead School and everything.
Sure.
So I go over there and I'm raking, and the individuals I introduced, they came out, and it was a handicapped individual who I immediately seen the need, and that felt really good. So I automatically felt like, okay, this is going to be the best part of the day. This I already felt it right away. I'm going to be able to carry this throughout the whole raking process. Then I meet this individual, and he opens up his garage to kind of bring out the bags and everything. And on his table in the garage, he's got a ton of White Sox hats.
Oh,
I'm a White Sox fan. I'm a diehard Chicago White Sox fan, and I don't run into many of them here in Wisconsin Rapids, as you'd imagine.
Right.
And sure enough, he's from not too far from where my family's from in Chicago. And we just I'd never met this individual before or anything like that. So we spent the good first 15, 20 minutes just talking, just getting to know each other, him sharing his family, my sharing mine. Mm-hmm. I, to this day, in my room, have a Chicago White Sox hat that he gave me that's on actually with a couple of other my hats. I look at it almost every day. And when I look at it, not only am especially being a White Sox fan, it's not easy. Our team has not been very good for a while. So when I see that symbol, it's awfully nice that I don't think about my win-loss record the last couple of seasons. I think about this individual. I think about Day of Caring. I cannot be more genuine about this. I genuinely do that. And it's such a nice moment. While this was all going on, it was great already. And again, I'm feeling great from all this. Well, then I see somebody raking their lawn next door. And it turns out to be Gary, one of our longtime listeners here at the radio station. I've talked to for years and years and years, but had never really met too much in person outside of the station.
Sure.
Here he is. He's the next door neighbor of this person. So I got to hang out with him, talk to him a little bit. It's honestly one of the best things I've done in this business, in radio, is being a part of Day and Caring, easily. Yep. So a great memory, great moment. And those kind of moments don't happen unless you are active, unless you are a part of things with the United Way. We've been talking to a lot of different groups, and we're going to continue to, of how we're making an impact, and United Way is making an impact and helping them. What I'd like to take a chance here with Brian, and especially with your with ERCO and everything, talking about how businesses can also make an impact and help with the United Way.
Sure.
You mentioned a number of different events that the United Way are a part of. Mm-hmm. These events take advertising. That advertising, you'll see signs, you'll see pictures, you'll see t-shirts with these advertisements out there. Businesses that are a part of these things and sponsor there, they're on these things.
Yep.
So not only is there the PR end of this, where you are showing that you are with the United Way, that you're on, you're supporting the United Way, and that's a great PR move right there. But you're also able to make, as a business, feel like you're impacting your community.
Right.
I know that that's something that's important to ERCO. We see ERCO advertising all over the place and putting back into this community all the time. It's part of the reason I like ERCO and I support them any chance I get. From that side of things, from the inside, Brian, as a businessman, I imagine that that's something that you guys see over there as well, the opportunity there with that, not only to impact your community, but to help as well your business.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, one of the core principles is ERCO's Responsible Care Committee. And that's one of the things that we do as part of that committee is to get involved in the local events, sponsor local activities, basically be a responsible steward of our community. You know, we're not just a factory in town that, you know, produces something. We're part of the community, and you know, we want to act as a part of the community.
Yeah.
And be a part of that. So,
and so when it comes to ERCO or any other businesses out there listening, we encourage you, first off, donate, get in on this. You're going to get some free, you know, we'll match you in advertising. You donate over donate 500 or more, we'll match you in that. So there's that great opportunity right there with that. And again, there's the opportunity of being a part of this and being a part of what the United Way is and does. And not only when you're sitting there and at home at night thinking about these things, but when you're bopping around town, when you're interacting with other businesses or other community members, you have that in your heart. You have that in your mind, and you know that you can lead with that. And oftentimes, it's not only smart business, but it's another way to impact your community.
Yep.
When you see events going on with the United Way, we encourage you to reach out to United Way and be a part of them and sponsor as best as you can.
Absolutely. And you can call now and make a donation to our campaign during this radiothon by calling 715-421-0390 to make an individual donation. Or as James said, if you are a local business that is interested in advertising on WFHR or WIRI, you can make a donation between $500 and $1,000 and receive in-kind advertising for that donation. And the way that you do that, again, call Stephanie at United Way, 715-421-0390.
Brian, when we're looking ahead, because we don't want to let you go, but we're going to have to, your term is just about up. we're going to be looking for somebody else to fill that position. When it comes to that individual out there that might be listening right now, what would you say to them to encourage them to be a part of things, to be the campaign chairman for the United Way in 2024?
Yeah, I think I would say that, you know, it's not as scary as you might think.
What do you mean scary?
So getting in front of groups, standing up and speaking, you know, it's not for everybody. I'm certainly not a professional public speaker by any means, but I felt like through the program or through the process, I got a little better at it. You know, and made a ton of contacts in the community. Again, just got to see some of the good work that the United Way does. If you want to be a part of that, being the campaign chair is a fantastic way to do that.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, man, I think you've been good on the air with me the whole time, like even in the beginning. But I see what you mean. You've grown at this. You've gotten a lot more comfortable with it and everything. That can only benefit you, you know, in your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
So one thing that happened last week, we were talking with someone who has interest in the campaign chair position, and Brian said, he started to say, well, don't worry, the first one is, I'm like, shh. Because we have the opportunity, and we are beyond blessed to have this opportunity, is that Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools lets us present at their first day back in August at their in-service. So we get to talk with all of their employees, which we just don't, it just doesn't happen at a lot of locations anymore where we can get in front of everybody and get that FaceTime. But that being said, then you're talking to 800 people.
Yeah.
And you're on a stage.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So if it truly is not your comfort area, but it was funny because when Brian started to tell her, I'm like, hey, shh.
Yeah. I didn't want to scare her away, but right. It's good to have the heads up.
Well, it's kind of funny. I've talked about this before with my teaching. I teach acting and improv and writing. And a lot of the students we have are people that want to be on Saturday Night Live and things like that. But I also, and currently the class I taught last night, I have two attorneys that are in that class. They're just starting out. They finished their schooling. They finished the bar. They passed the bar. All this, and now they're getting to the point where they're going to be starting to be in front of people and have to, you know, see cases and everything. And they are nervous as all get out. And especially this one young lady who I marvel at. She's so intelligent and so quick-witted, but she gets in front of two people and just locks up. And she's nervous about those 12 people in the jury and all these things. And we've been working with her, and I would say she's been doing this for about maybe 2 months. Just light year difference.
Oh, yeah.
Already a light year difference of there to from then to now. These kind of opportunities can only benefit people. And whether or not you struggle with speaking in front of people or public speaking, we all have to do it at some point.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a little more experience, a little more reps doing it. And something like being a board member or being the campaign chairman gives you that golden opportunity of being able to do this while also doing some good in your community.
Yeah. And I think the biggest trick is to understand your content, right?
Yeah.
You're confident about your content. And through this process, I've learned more and more about the United Way. And it's gotten easier to talk about because now I know a bit about some of the programs. I know what the United Way does in the community. So it you essentially speak from the heart and it comes through much clearer in your message.
You know, I've noticed that with every campaign chairman that you have had, Terry, since I've been here in this chair and everything, I've noticed these are all people, individuals that not only are charismatic, but also know their stuff. They understand the United Way. They understand the work that's being done there.
Yeah, and so it's exactly what Brian just said. It's pretty easy if you are just speaking from the heart or based on what you know. So it's getting over the fact of how many people are in front of you, right? Like moving past that. But once you just start talking about something that you believe in, something that you care about, something that you invest in, it's almost like not this quite the same level, but it's almost like talking about your kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's something you're excited about, you're passionate about, and it does make it really easy.
It reminds me as well, and it actually is kind of fitting given that we are in the campaign season and we are encouraging people to root for their home team, to support their home team in the United Way. It reminds me when I hear people talk about the United Way, it's different than other nonprofits in this sense that it is like a sports team. It is like that team that we root for, that we back no matter what, we love unconditionally, and we look for any opportunity to highlight, to talk about, to bring up. That's important, and it shows that this isn't something that is just a job, or it is just something that you do to, you know, for volunteering or anything. This is a passion. This is something that you it's deeper than dollars and cents or even words can really put.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's take a couple minutes here and talk about what it is to be a campaign chairman and a campaign chairperson, I should say, and what that work, what that, you know, the time restraint that, not time restraint, but how much that takes of your day, that kind of thing.
Right. So, go ahead.
No, you go.
Okay. Yep. I was just going to say that, you know, we visited probably 10 to 15 places. Our presentations are about 10 to 15 minutes a piece. I've been very fortunate with ERCO that they don't mind me, you know, taking a little bit of time during the day. Yeah. So I pop in and out, but the time commitment is not huge. Again, like the most daunting thing is the speaking in front of people. But other than that, you know, it's not a burdensome mm-hmm. commitment.
And I think the other thing, you know, there's just a few. You know, well, I guess it depends if you're not a writer. I was going to say a few easy other, you know, asks that we have, but we do ask the campaign chair to write something for our newsletter, just, you know, an intro. Hey, you know, who are you? What are, you know, why are you involved? And then we also ask at the end of campaign for the campaign chair to write again for the newsletter, you know, a thank you, like to bring it full circle. It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't go out till like February, so okay. You're good.
You got time. You got time. I didn't realize that. So no,
I know.
So we bring, you know, we bring that kind of full circle as far as in writing and that kind of thing. But you know, the time commitment does vary from year to year.
Sure.
But that is pretty average, like what Brian said. And then, you know, sometimes we have some unique asks. Sometimes it's not being in front of people. Sometimes someone will ask for a video. Mm-hmm. And so we'll just record a little video for that business because they, you know, whatever the reason is, they're not bringing people in face to face. So I think we try as United Way to be as adaptable to any request that comes in as possible, and where that works for the campaign chair, then that's fabulous. But if it doesn't, then, you know, we figure it out and roll with it. So it just really kind of, it really kind of depends what, you know, where companies are at and when they're inviting people in.
And if you are an individual that really wants to be a part of this and do this, you've already taken the biggest step. You've already taken the hardest, biggest part of this. You want to do this. You're passionate about it. You care. The United Way is going to find a way to work with you. The United Way is going to find a way to make, you know, keep you in your, maybe get you out of your comfort zone a little bit just because that's just good for the soul. But mostly it's working with you and what your comfort levels as well.
And we have lots of great opportunities for volunteers around the campaign. So one of the things, like before Brian was the campaign chair this year, last year he was, you know, coordinating and running the campaign at his workplace. And so, you know, that's another way that people, you know, kind of step up into getting involved. And then we also have a group of loaned executives. So these are members of the community who will call on four or five businesses on behalf of United Way, you know, take them their materials, talk with them about having us come to do a presentation, do follow-ups with them. For instance, they're doing a lot of follow-ups this week to make sure people get their stuff in before the sweepstakes deadline. So, you know, there's a lot of different layers to how people can be involved with the campaign, which then could eventually evolve into, you know, the campaign chair role.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to people out there, again, looking to do this, I like to remind whether, you know, businesses out there, individuals and nonprofits, whether it is being on the board, a campaign chairman, volunteering, you may have noticed throughout the conversation with Brian here today, I've mentioned ERCO. That is now six times I have mentioned ERCO. That is free advertising, baby. That is the kind of thing that you get with this, that comes along with this kind of thing. So again, not only are you putting back into your community, but you're helping your business and you're supporting your business as well. You can feel good about that. It's a great combination. It's a win-win kind of thing right there.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I do want to say quick for any businesses listening out there, Terry did mention the video option. As a campaign chair, I can say it, recording a video is a lot tougher than being in person.
Yeah.
So if you can, have us in person. When you're recording a video, there's no pressure to keep going. So if you screw up, you stop and then you want to record again. Yep. And it's just so hard.
You are speaking to my whole life in radio. You're simply like doing the live stuff, not as bad. I'm in there recording, like a take 55.
Right.
Yep. You know, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Blah, blah. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Brian, really do appreciate the time and really appreciate everything you have impacted this community with and being the chairman this year, this season. We've really, really enjoyed it. And I've really enjoyed working with you and having you in and stuff.
Likewise. Yeah.
Please say hi to everybody over at ERCO for us. Enjoy the rest of this run here for yourself. And again, thank you for the impact you've made.
All right. Thanks, James. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. We'll get to Melissa in our state news. We'll also have some more fun coming back. Terry, who do we have coming up next?
Next, we have Kelly from Child Caring. So we'll be jumping into the education and financial stability portions of our plan for community well-being.
I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a wonderful conversation. That's coming up for you right here on the WFHR WIRI Radiothon. Going strong right here.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is lifting lockdowns at state prisons in Waupun and Green Bay. Inmates have been confined to their cells since July because of safety worries and not enough guards. Inmates will soon get access to more prison programs, and some inmates in Waupun will be moved out. The governor says he's also keen on hiring more guards. Starting pay for those jobs went up to $33 an hour in the new state budget. More young people are taking part in Wisconsin's registered apprenticeship program than ever before. The paid training program combines on-the-job learning and education from technical colleges and private training centers. More than 16,000 apprentices are taking part. That's the highest number in the program's 112 years. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you get a text from the U.S. Postal Service, ignore it. Here's Brittany Merlot to tell you why.
Scammers are posing as the USPS and targeting people through text messages. Police say that scammers send a text to someone saying that they received a package, but there is incorrect information. They then provide a link or a QR code and ask people to click the link to confirm. Once the victim is on the website, scammers ask for credit card information, saying that they need to deliver the package. USPS says if you get a text like this, ignore it, because they do not send text messages asking for credit card information.
The Wisconsin Rapids Firefighters Charitable Foundation raised $8,000 this year to help find a cure for muscular dystrophy. Yesterday, they presented the check for the MDA Fill the Boot campaign. This project has been sponsored by the International Association of Firefighters in the U.S. for the past 7 decades. They've raised over $679 million. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
We're not comfortable until you are at Tri-City Services.
Guess what? You asked for it and you got it. The oldest furnace contest is back.
Tri-City Services is giving away a free furnace to the winner of the oldest furnace contest. Whoever has the oldest working furnace in the Wisconsin Rapids area will win a free furnace. Yes, a free furnace. What are the rules, you ask? Well, entrants must own and reside in their home in the Wisconsin Rapids area. The furnace must be functional and the main heat source for your house. Pretty easy. So take a picture of that old dinosaur furnace and enter online at calltricity.com. Contest ends November 30th, so hurry. Enter your dinosaur furnace in the oldest furnace contest at Tri-City Services. Restrictions apply. Enter online at calltricity.com before November 30th.
You're not comfortable until you are at Tri-City Services.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again!
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. It's the home finale against the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High of 60 this afternoon under clear skies. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies. Tonight, 38. Tomorrow, highs around 64. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. WFHR WIRI Radiothon going on with our United Way of Southwind and Adams Counties. Terry Johns and I hanging out. Terry, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We got some new guests in with us.
We do. First, before we jump to guests, I do want to just encourage people, if you're, you know, liking what you hear, or you've heard something that has made you think that you want to make a donation to help these, any of these causes, give us a call at 715-421-0390. So make sure everybody has that number before we dig too far in. So shifting our focus a little bit now on our plan for community well-being, we've heard from some housing programs. We've heard from programs in the health strategy area. And now we're able to shift to cover two strategy areas, education, early years, and then also with financial stability. And so United Way helps to fund programs at child caring that hits in both of those areas. And so Kelly and Rachel are here to talk about those programs. So we'd like to hear about both provider recruitment and retention and the scholarship program, and you know, share anything you'd like and how United Way impacts those programs.
Yeah, thank you both for being here, by the way.
Yeah, thank you, James.
So how does that, let's begin right there with the program itself and what that is.
Yeah, so we can start with our child care provider recruitment and retention program that's through Child Caring. That's been sponsored by United Way for many, many years. It predates me as being the executive director, actually. Hmm. That program helps to support area child care programs. And so we help support people who want to, are interested in being a child care provider. So we help them with their business startup assistance, help them understand regulation in Wisconsin, even are able to provide them with financial resources, but a lot of like mentoring and assistance that way to go from, hey, I have, how many kids can I legally care for, all the way to, now you have your license. Here you are as a regulated child care provider. And then once a provider is certified or licensed, we offer consultation, continuing education, and resources to help them, you know, retain that regulation type. So that's provider recruitment and retention, kind of in a nutshell, is just really being supportive to, actually today we have 32 child care programs that are chosen to become regulated in the Southwood County area.
That made my heart just sing right there. That's beautiful. That's awesome. I've said this on the air a number of times. I've said this to our representatives, to our senators, to people that I've talked to. I genuinely believe that in this state, really in this country, but in this state in particular, there is no bigger issue than childcare and child services and children in general. Any subject that has to do with kids, that should be number one on the list. That should go right to the top. And with that, it makes sense that the United Way will be impacting that. It will be helping with that. How does the United Way impact and help with this organization, with this program?
Yeah, United Way is a great local support for child care, for families needing child care, through our child care referral program, but most specifically in Southwood County, United Way supports our Good Start Grants program. Mm-hmm. And that program allows families to help pay for child care. So we've talked about this on the air before, mm-hmm. James. The extreme cost of care is sometimes more than a family's mortgage, more than a family's utilities, food costs, you know, et cetera. And so that Good Start Grants program helps families pay for care. And I can let Rachel, our Good Start Grants coordinator, just give a couple sentences as to how that program works.
Yeah, thank you, Rachel.
Yeah, so Good Start Grants is a program that helps families pay for childcare. It actually pays between 55% and 65% of their tuition costs weekly. Mm. We really focus on year-long authorizations for the continuity of care, rather than the short helping here. So families, it follows the families. So if they reside in the Southwood area, they're eligible. They can choose a child care provider where they go to. They just need to be in an approved activity, working, going to school. We really focus on our ALICE families. So those families, the families that I help do not receive any other assistance, so they're not receiving Wisconsin shares from the state. So really our families that may be falling through their cracks that just need that extra assistance to help pay for child care, because as you said, child care can be expensive. So
there's a lot of gray area in this subject. You know, there's a lot of those families that slip through the cracks. I think a lot of good organizations, a lot of good programs that our government provides for a lot of this, there is always going to be individuals that slip through or just don't fit the application process possibly. So that's where we have organizations like this to come in and are so key to our community. I haven't gotten to mention this many times on the air, but my family certainly came from a tough background, needed a lot of help. My mom and dad both worked, both very, very hardworking individuals that wanted to work 40 hours a week and that, but, you know, got three kids in there. My brother and sister and I had to join the circus to end. No, I'm kidding. We didn't. That's the extreme. Really, I would have to go into that a little bit. I can't just let drop that. I would have to get into that one, but I say that to lighten the mood a little bit, but also to bring the attention to this subject, that's the difference here. Like where families like mine grew back in the day, there wasn't a lot of help. There wasn't a lot of attention to this subject. So you did have families, while we wouldn't maybe join the circus, my mom many times was not able to work a shift because she had to be home with us. That impacted our family incredibly. It was dire back in the 80s when I was a kid, because I'm old. It's now in the 20s, in the 2023 and going forward here, it's even more dire. It's even more needing of our attention to this subject. Whether you're an individual out there listening that has children in school or has young children, or your kids are older like mine or anything like that, this impacts you. This affects you. You are in part of this all. We are all connected. The more we can help families with child care, the more those individuals are able to be out in the workforce, be able to be taxpayers, be able to impact our economy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I don't think that anybody out there with a couple of brain cells, it takes a whole lot of connecting the dots to see how important this subject is, how vital this subject is. If you don't believe that, go ahead and throw into your search engine what it was like during the pandemic and who was affected mostly by the pandemic. It was overwhelming. 100% of single moms or women were unable to work because of that, when what was going on there, and mainly in part because we didn't have childcare services. That was understandable. Well, not understandable, but that was something that happened then. We've still got that same impact and that same thing happening right now. We haven't healed from that part of the pandemic. We still have many individuals that are not able to get into the workforce simply because of childcare. And that seems like one of those things that it's such a self-inflicted wound, it feels like. It feels like something that not individuals, I mean us as a society, that it could have been helped beforehand. But now here we are in the mix, and we're hopefully trying to make an impact on this now through organizations like this. When it comes to this organization, Kelly, what are some of the things that you feel like we don't get a chance to touch on nearly enough and talk about? Because we don't have you guys in enough. I feel like we could have you guys in every week to talk about this subject. But since we're here and you are here, what is something that we could tell the audience that maybe they don't always know about these things?
Well, I think I appreciate the idea that you said this affects everybody, right? So if you're a family who has young children, of course you're having to make those tough decisions about whether to go to work, to stay home, to pay the cost of care or not. But I think we see it among workforce in general, right? Mm-hmm. Like the economic development implications of not having childcare. So you talk with any of the local employers and you ask how many of your, you know, employees have had to miss work? How many have not been focused on their work because they're worried about their childcare situation, they're worried about their kids? And so I think more and more, increasingly more, we're seeing this as a workforce development issue within communities. I think we have a lot more communities coming together. In Wisconsin Rapids area, Wood County is a great example because we've received a planning grant from the state of Wisconsin called a Dream Up Grant. And so it's given us an opportunity in 2023 to pull together lots of different individuals from across sectors. We've got school district folks, we've got UW Extension, local businesses, chambers coming together to really sit and tackle these issues and talk about what's it going to take? What can we all bring to the table to move this issue forward and solve the problems? And I think that's been just a wonderful opportunity. It's a slow process, right? Like, yeah, we haven't seen a lot of movement yet. We're still talking about the issues, still trying to figure it out, because if there was a magic solution, by golly, we'd have figured it out by now.
And with this, I'm curious too of like different, because you started off talking about how the childcare is available, but there's other programs a part of this as well, other ways of helping families and kids and helping individuals. Can we come back to some of those programs, get a little more in depth on some of those, some of the different things that are a part of this?
So are you meaning the Good Start grant?
Yes. That's, yeah. I'm sorry. What I was trying to go on, but I didn't see my notes. I did not. Yes, the Good Start grant. Thank you. You're good, Kelly. You're good.
Yeah. Well, and Good Start grants to this community is relatively new. We've been offering this program just for the past couple of years. It transitioned from a scholarship aid, which was temporary, into this more long-term support. And so I'll let Rachel again touch a little bit more about Good Start grants, because she's been coordinating this program in our office for 10 years.
And we're just not making you work enough, Rachel. We got to make you talk about that.
I'm okay.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Like even to touch on like what you were saying, the program is there for the families that have the two working parents, or, you know, the mom or the dad that has to work, like they don't have the option to stay at home, or, you know, just for that family where the mom or dad don't want to stay home because honestly, we have families out there. I was one of those families, and I would have joined the circus with you. And so we have this program out there for, again, those people that just barely, I mean, I approve some people that are
$3 over the cutoff for the state child care assistance program. So it's very rewarding to be able to help that family and, you know, be able to say, yep, I can approve you for the entire year. You have this continue child care assistance for the entire year so that your children can go to a safe quality program. You can go to work knowing that they are in this safe program. And then, like we always say, everybody wins. You know, the family can attend the work. The providers have that stable income coming in for them because they know that this assistance coming. And our employers are able to produce whatever they're doing because their employees are there at work.
It all connects.
Yes.
It all connects. And all of that ends up with people, again, paying taxes, putting back into their community, doing the work that needs to get done, and all of this. Everybody gets to do their job. Everybody gets to do their thing and impact society. It all adds up. It all connects. But you take one of these pieces out where because somebody isn't able to work because of child care or something like that, needing child care or something, and this gets crunked up. And that's part of the reason why the United Way saw this and wanted to be a part of this is making a true impact means doing the heavy lifting, doing the digging, looking into these things, and not just saying, well, it looks like child care is an issue. Let's go ahead and just throw a Band-Aid on that. Well, we're looking at a way to actually make an impact of that to where individuals get on their feet and don't need other services and are able to just kind of go off on their own. It's a big part of why the United Way is not only a part of this program, but a part of all the programs that they're doing. I'm curious, as individuals, we understand dollars and cents can go a long way. Is there volunteer opportunities? Are there other ways that we can make an impact and help with the work that you guys are doing?
Yeah, it's funny you should mention volunteers on the way over here. I was thinking about that we just recently worked with one of our favorite volunteers from the area. Her name's Gloria, and she is so awesome. She just bundled. We just updated our brochure to reflect our more current work with families. And boy, we took her hundreds, thousands of brochures, and she had those brochures bundled for us within a couple of days, and just greatly appreciate. And so there are opportunities like that for volunteering. It's tricky. You know, I think people want to say, well, why can't we just send more volunteers into the child care programs, right? Like, they need the support. But it's super tricky because those people need certain background checks educational levels and things like that. So lots of times the volunteer opportunities within child caring have to do with bundling brochures or making copies, pulling together resource materials, and just in helping us in those methods. When those opportunities are available, we definitely work through United Way.
If we're able to do those things for you guys, help out with those things, that leaves you guys a little freer to the task at hand, to focus on the vital work that you're doing. So while that work might not always seem like it's, you know, pushing a rock up a hill or something like really heavy and big and important, it is. Every little bit, every little thing makes an impact and helps out and goes a long ways. If people want to know more about some of the services that you offer, some of the things we've talked about today, how can they get in touch with you individually?
Yeah, so a great way to connect with us is to call us, because we actually have live people that answer the phone.
Yeah, this is crazy.
It's our toll-free number is 1-800-628-8534. Another great way to connect to us is reach out to our website, which is www.childcaring.org. We have one of those fancy little features that you can talk to, and you can instant message through our website, and then it's a chat. Thank you, Rachel. Yeah. Rachel's so much more tacky than me. And of course, we're on Facebook and LinkedIn and some of those other social media platforms as well. So
throw them into your search bar, like them, support them, keep up to date on all the great things that they are doing over there, because they're doing some of the more vital work in our community. We really appreciate what you guys are doing. And you mentioned a Gloria before. Has anybody ever met a bad Gloria? Like, I don't think it exists. I really don't. It's one of those names you hear and you're like, oh yeah, that's probably a good person, right? That's probably good.
Yes.
Thank you both for the time. Also, a lot of great Kellys and Rachels out there. We met two of them today. Thank you very much for being with us, you two. Appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
We'll be back with more to wrap up our radiothon with the WFHR and WIRI radiothon with the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties coming up right here on WFHR.
The 988 suicide and crime Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help. Anyone can call or text 988 or chat via 988wisconsin.org to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. Trained counselors are here to support anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. You can also contact 988 if you are concerned about someone. 988 is confidential and free to all Wisconsin residents. 988, 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and copays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
It'd be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. High of 60 this afternoon under clear skies, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 38 tonight. Tomorrow, high of 64. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 49.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show at WFHR. Locally grown radio.
It's kind of ironic.
It is very. It is very.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Perfect song to play into our last segment as we are wrapping up the WFHR WIRI Radiothon. CEO of your United Way of South Windham's Counties, Terry Johns, here with us. And Terry, this has been an amazing couple of hours. It's been a lot of fun. Appreciate you hanging out with us and doing this every year that we get to do this.
Yeah, it's been a great opportunity. I think for us to be able to showcase some of the partners that we have in this work, because United Way, we helped to fund 30 programs. So there was just a small sampling here with us this morning. But then there's also 10 initiatives that our team brings forth to the community as well. You think about things like Great Book Giveaway, Imagination Library, United We Can. You know, there's a lot of those great efforts that go on as well, that all collectively are impacting, you know, primary focus on ALICE families. So families who are struggling, or maybe aren't struggling, but are one hardship away from a struggle. And so that represents about 40% of the households here in our service area. So, you know, United Way is really important, and we're doing important work in the community. And I want to thank everyone who's participated already this morning, and really encourage participation. And at this time of the year, participation means giving. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, really encourage you to make a donation to United Way. Your impact is beyond measure, and much has much more depth than you might ever think that it does, regardless of the dollar amount. So I really encourage people, if you are interested in qualifying for our sweepstakes, you need to do that by 4 o'clock on Friday. To qualify, you give $1 a week. So $52 for the year. And then if you want a second entry, you can increase your donation by 26. And those, we have five $1,000 cash prizes. Those are sponsored by local businesses, so it does not come out of donations. Those are sponsored by Aspires Health, Gunderson Mountain View Hospital and Clinics, Next Home Partners, Prevail Bank, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. And I think sometimes it's really important for us to put that out there and call those businesses out, because they're not only all having employee campaigns for United Way and making corporate gifts, they're also upping it to another $1,000 to say, hey, we want to help you get more and new donors. So we really encourage you, if you have thought about a donation, now's the time. I mean, you could win. So that would be great. The way that you get in touch with us is 715-421-0390. You can also always give by visiting our website, uwswac.org. Click on donate, and you can do that right from the website as well. Whatever's more convenient. We've really, whatever is convenient to the donor is really what our goal is. So we are, kind of on the home stretch of sweepstakes. We know there's a lot of companies out there that are wrapping up their campaigns, in case you have been asked through your workplace to give. If you have not been asked, we ask you to consider yourself asked and give it some consideration. Then we do have another fun event coming up, and that is our Wreath Silent Auction. And this will happen. We will have a selection of wreaths that have been donated to us. Many handmade, which is really, really nice, handcrafted, I should say. And they are gorgeous. Probably about half of them have been dropped off at the office. So we have them hanging up all over so we can see them. But that auction will go live on December 1st. And it is electronic. So you go to our website, you click on the banner that shows the wreaths, and then you'll be able to view them, make bids on them. And that will go December 1st through December 5th at 7 p.m. So that's a great opportunity to, maybe pick up a little gift for someone, James, your mom.
Yes.
But you
mental
know,
note made.
Pick something up, and all of the proceeds, right? These are donated wreaths. So all of this money also contributes then to our campaign. So, I mean, win-win, right? Like you can maybe get a wreath and gift that to someone, or hang it on your own door, right? Something special and new and a reminder that you impacted the community.
We've had such a great time, as we do every year, getting to have these individuals come in, talk about whether it's their nonprofit or their business or their program that they're running. You touched on something that I always like to make sure that we get to before we wrap up, Terry, that while they are representing maybe a nonprofit or a business, these are individuals, these are citizens of our community. These are fellow community members. These are people we run into at the gas station, at the grocery store, and all that. And they themselves are making individual impacts with the United Way as well. And it goes so much deeper than I think we ever get a chance in these 3 hours to really get into. I guarantee you, a little bit later this afternoon, I'll be texting Terry, oh, I forgot to bring this up, or something like that, because there's just so much that you guys do. And it's important to keep in mind that while, there is the story that you're hearing, there's a lot of layers to that story. There's a lot more going on, and a lot more that we have the time to get in depth on. That's how impactful the United Way is, and how intertwined with our community the United Way is. When you're adding to the United Way, you are impacting every individual you see, every street you drive down, every part of this community is affected by the United Way. It's a great way to work with your community and to impact your community.
Well, and the beauty, honestly, of the United Way system is that it is local community, right? Yeah. Like no donations leave the community unless you, the donor, tell us that you want it to go to another community. So it truly is about helping your friends, family, and neighbors that have a need.
Yes. You run across these people all the time, and you may see them, you may smile, you may know the sports team they root for, these kind of things. But there's the stuff you don't know. There's the stuff we don't share. Again, going back to the whole Midwest mentality thing. You just don't know. But we do know statistically, thanks to the Alice report and some of the other conversations we've had, that some individuals out there are struggling, and we don't always know who is. So when you are helping with these programs, you're helping out the individuals that maybe you see and you know that you are. But you're impacting even more than that, because there's so many people out there that are struggling, or that whether they are struggling or they are just a moment away from a struggle, that you could be impacting, could be helping out.
And I think another really great thing about our system and the work that we do in the community as a convener of nonprofits, and we heard this from a few of, and unprompted too, by the way, a few of the partners who were here today, was, we all work together. Or people don't realize how closely we talk. We've brought those silos down, and we've got organizations and programs in the same room on a regular basis talking through what the challenges are and how do we reduce duplication and how do we best stretch our dollars as individual programs, but then also just how do we best meet the needs of the members of our community who need us.
Well, the Radiothon is wrapping up. We're already looking forward to next year. The campaign continues and the work of the United Way continues. So please help them do the great work that they are doing. Terry, how can they do that?
Reach out to us, 715-421-0390, or visit our website at uwswac.org.
Be sure to follow them on social media as well. It's a great follow. Great way to keep up to date on all the good things going on in your community. Terry and I play in Hurt today. Nice work. Always good working with you.
Thanks.
Really nice work
today. You too.